Macapuatu is an actor, writer, and musician, best known for Cowboy Bebop in 2021, The Umbrella Man 2015, Mystic, and the show he was talking about when he was a guest on Radio Labyrinth back in August of 2021, Wellington Paranormal, which begins airing seasons 3 and 4 this June 22nd on the CW and then streaming on HBO Max. Everybody, please welcome Macapuatu. I'm so happy to have you back, man. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Thank you.
Can't believe it, this wonderful era that we're in. You know, when we first started doing everything by Zoom because of the pandemic, I complained all the time. But yeah. It's made it a lot easier to talk to guests. So we're happy about that.
Definitely, like a lot of meetings through Zoom. And I got used to doing a lot of self-tape auditions from home. I kind of like it. I don't have to go physically to be in a room at a meeting, I'm like, oh, can we just do it through Zoom?
Yeah. Imagine it'd be a lot easier than sitting in a room and acting in front of a bunch of people that are looking at their phones or staring out the window or whatever.
Yeah, it's lovely. You have the luxury of you review your thing and take a lot of time with it and you go, oh, I don't like that, I'm going to do another one. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't like that one either, I'm going to do another one. And not the same pressure of having a panel of people looking at you. So, yeah, it's really nice.
So how do you feel about the reception the show's had in the US?
Yeah, great. There's been lots of lovely messages on social media and people that really love the show. My favorites are like artists who do like caricature or sketches of us. And mm-hmm. those are really, really cool. Like fan art and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm really stoked at the reception it's been getting overseas.
Were you guys fully wrapped by the time it started showing over here? Or did you do any production after it had started airing?
We were pretty much wrapped and just sort of doing some post-production ADR stuff.
I was just hoping that once it became such a big hit in America that Jermaine would say, hey, we got to keep going with this thing.
Yeah. He did say close to when we wrapped, he was like, I don't know if we can hold him to this. So he's like, you know, guys, if there's like, you know, if we get like maybe like 200,000 signatures and you know, riots in the street to bring it back, then I'll consider it.
It's no coincidence that the best comedies are all coming out of New Zealand or are done by folks from New Zealand.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. People like our dry sense of humor.
Oh, it's great. And I think for me, it all started with What We Do in the Shadows, the movie, then the series, Wellington Paranormal. It goes back to Flight of the Conchords, actually, doesn't it? But those guys and Taika producing and directing all these movies, he brings a lot to the Marvel franchise as well. It's great.
Yeah, he's cracking it, you know, Marvel and Star Wars and... Thor's coming out soon. I'm really looking forward to that.
That's gonna be good. Did he direct the one with the last one or not? I don't remember. I have such a brain. I'm
yeah.
so tired all the time. Yeah, that's why it was so funny. I know that guy from work.
Yeah. It's quite surreal too that I watched it over in I think we were in Hong Kong at the time, on tour with my band. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go watch Thor Ragnarok today, and got me a ticket. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I was the only foreigner in the theater. And of course there was like Chinese subtitles and stuff. And I really enjoyed that a lot of the gags and the jokes were landing, you know, even through translation. Mm-hmm. I was like, cool. And then it was surreal to when Korg appears to hear like an alien in a Marvel universe, you know, MCU character, you know, talking like us back home.
Yeah. Oh, I'll try to start a revolution, but ran out of pamphlets or something.
That's a great impression.
Yeah. How's your American accent in case they start to do Staten Island Paranormal?
We were in New York back in 2020, mm-hmm. just And I just enjoyed listening to people walking down the street going, you know, hey, yo, I'm in Brooklyn. Don't tell nobody. Like, they just love, yeah, having really loud private conversations in public.
I better get out of my way, goddammit.
Yeah. I think it was terrible. I think, you know, my American is just based solely on mimicry of TV shows, you know.
Wasn't that the way that a lot of actors from like England or any of the countries where they speak English learn how to do the American accent? Is just mimicry.
Oh yeah, totally. I remember being at primary school, and we would sort of mimic the cartoons and stuff of the day. Yeah. Roll out, yeah.
The hardest accent for me to do is an Australian accent. I can do a range of British accents and stuff, but it's really hard for me because there's so much going on.
Yeah,
in the voice, I always end up having to defer to a soap opera character from the 80s, Robert Scarpiad, and it's not even very good. There's a major difference between an Australian accent and New Zealand, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I know they pronounce the E's differently in Australia than they do in New Zealand.
Yeah, we say number six, they say six. Seek, fish and sheep. Yeah, we're like more like a little fush and chips. Have you guys ever attempted a New Zealand accent, or do you try and like mimic
well,
Minogue and Malarian and me?
I did a bunch of radio commercials in the late 90s for More FM, the group. I don't know if they're still around. It was More FM.
Yep.
Yeah. Still around. And the guy who ran the company would call me and he'd say, Cheese, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all the commercials had to have, God, who was it? There was one artist. Is Natalie Imbruglia from New Zealand?
Yeah.
There was an artist at the time that was from New Zealand. And because they had rules, you had to have at least one artist from New Zealand in every television commercial. It was funny.
Has there been any talk of maybe coming and doing a cameo on the What We Do in the Shadows?
I did ask Jermaine way back in season two. I was like, are you guys thinking of, are you trying to set up a Wellington or like the paranormal cinematic universe or something, you know? But that would be exciting. But he's holds his cards quite close to his chest, Jermaine.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about the cases and monsters we'll see in seasons 3 and 4, like the invisible creature, giant spider, and stuff like that?
Oh, okay. So there is a Maori mythological creature, based on a Maori mythological creature called the Bird Woman. The original story is an ancestor called Hatupatu that incurred the wrath of a woman that was part sort of condor, kind of like the Greek harpy, I think. Yeah, she had a massive wingspan and big claws, and the story is that she chased him and he did a magical sort of incantation to hide himself inside a rock, and she she used her claws to kind of slash and bring him out of the rock and stuff. That's the original. That's not gonna. None of that's in the show. Sorry, but there's her, the bird woman creature, and she's played by a well-known Māori folk singer artist called Anika Moore. Which, in a funny sort of connection, Anika's last name Moore. Also happens to be the name of a now extinct prehistoric bird that was native to New Zealand, more like sort of part of the emu or ostrich family. And they used to be, quite large. Like our ancestors hunted them for food and rode them, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. But they were, they were flightless. They were more like large bird horses.
Like dinosaurs.
Yeah. But Anika's, but they existed in our ancestors' time, and we hunted them to extinction because they taste really good. But Anika's bird woman creature can fly.
I've seen a few episodes of season three already. I haven't watched any of season four. I'm saving it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't want the show to end. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that. You got to savor it. You can't just blow through something. I do that with a lot of shows that I really like. I don't blow through them all, even if they're available, because I want to get that feeling. Hey, I got something out of this.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know you got to fight the invisible giant, squid or whatever.
Yeah, the invisible friend.
Yeah.
And this season, I'm just trying to think what else. Because it feels like such a long time ago now, but there is a take on you know in some films how the classic horror trope of this hotel, this place is built on an Indian burial ground. Well, there's a spin on that.
Yeah,
that the police station is actually built on a Caucasian burial ground. There's a bit of possession in there of Caucasian ghosts that police officers and, you know, throw the entire police station into some sort of spiritual dimension. That's exciting. What else is there? They will bring back Lucifer. And that's a kind of, there's this kind of double narrative going on. And that also that Officer Sainsbury ends up being partnered up with another Sarge, makes him go on like regular police missions. And it actually is quite an exciting thing where he goes off and does like he's partnered up with another guy and he's go do like a big large scale SWAT mission, like drug bust operation, and he's really bored. He's like, this is like, this is so boring. I really, you know, because he's obsessed with being part of the paranormal unit, and he's like, whatever. And, you know, we've got helicopters and people rappelling from the roof and stuff, and poor guy's just like, it happens. Yeah. He's like in full SWAT gear with the, you know, assault weapons and stuff like that.
The marrow? Is that like the New Zealand Bigfoot?
Ah, yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's season three. Yes, the Mairo.
That's how you pronounce it. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. I like that. Yeah,
so good. Is that a real creature in New Zealand folklore?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Sarge's research is about all these what does he call them? Like bipedal creatures. You know, in Peru, they've got this and, you know, Sasquatch, Yeti, yada, yada. I just really enjoyed leaning into the pronunciation of these different cultures in Peru, the Yajla or whatever it is. yeah, that was fun. We got to run around in the forest and freeze our nuts off.
In the South, in the old days, they had something they called the skunk ape. That was like, what they called it, the skunk ape, but it was like a Bigfoot.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You got a bit of a cameo from Mr. Reece Darby in that episode too. He's great. What else we got? We've got there's an episode about a fatberg, a sentient kind of accumulation of waste and you know, fat from takeaways. In the sewer. It's pretty I like that episode. It's a lot of slime. It reminded me of the old Ghostbusters movie where how the, you know, the ectoplasm sort of takes over New York and changes New York into a harnesses the negative energy there or something, and the streets are flooded with this ectoplasm. We didn't quite have that bigger scale in Wellington to do that, but we still had you know, a lot of cool effects and a lot of this goop kind of reminded me of hair gel. It was like pink and viscous, and a few cool stunts there.
The production for the show is really good. I think, yeah, for a television show, it seems like they don't skimp on the budget.
Yeah, well, you know, TV and said, oh, you did well with your first two, you know, seasons. So here's a little bit more money to make it look nicer.
Yeah.
But it was funny. I think the was like the some of the early reviews that came out of America. It was like, oh, the visual effects weren't that impressive. He said something about, I wonder if the entire budget of Wellington Paranormal season one was bankrolled entirely in Marmite. Like, oh, that's strange. Do you mean bankrolled by Marmite, like this multi-billion-dollar company? Because then it would be quite impressive. Or you mean literal Marmite? Like, yes, they paid our salary and Marmite on toast every day. Yeah,
jars of Marmite. I thought Marmite was a British thing. It's not, is it?
It's been staple, breakfast foods in New Zealand since I can remember. Anyway,
what's the difference between Marmite and Vegemite?
This is one of those
stupid questions from Americans.
No. This is dark chocolate versus milk chocolate kind of conversation. It's preference. I like them both. I think it's the loyalty thing. I think Vegemite is made in Australia. I could be wrong. I don't know, guys. Sorry. I'm not a Vegemite.
It tastes the same?
They taste slightly different. And Vegemite is slightly lighter in color, where like Marmite is deep black. Like the just a kind of black gold, weird salty, B12 rich kind of thing that you put on buttered toast. And I remember going to a Mariah Carey concert with my cousin. She's like, "Hi, cousin, I'm in Auckland. Do you want to come to my Mariah Carey show with me?" "Sure." Mm-hmm. And then halfway through the show, she stops. She goes, "Hello, Auckland. I've been trying some of your foods and I tried Marmite. What the hell is that?" That's the thing. I was just really laughed about New Zealanders, hugely patriotic. Don't you dare say nothing bad about Marmite or Kiwi food or anything like that. How dare you? I was like, it was just funny. I was like, yeah, it's a strange food.
My old boss was British, and he said, "Tim, I thought I'd like you to try this. Have you ever had Marmite?" I said, "No." And he goes, "Well, try it." And at first I was like, "Oh," but I really enjoyed it. It was good.
It's an acquired taste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got to have it with other things. You don't just kind of put it on a cracker. Some people do. You're like, "Wow, you're crazy. You make butter with that. Look at you." But, it's nice on buttered toast. And you can add things like cheese and tomato and really bougie it up, eh?
So during the run of the show, did you have a favorite, aside from spreads, did you have a favorite monster?
Oh, man. The plant clones really blew me away, especially when we got to season two and you see them develop more humanoid, like the prosthetics and stuff that it's amazing. Like half tentacly, sort of some of them are a bit disfigured and stuff like that. They were the coolest creatures, even in their pure alien form, their weird sort of long tentacle things. It was cool when we got to evolve them a bit more. But to be honest, I think my favorite episode ever is like the Taniwha with the water creature, the big dragons that are copulating in Wellington Harbour in front of us.
That's the episode where you do the kind of riff on Jaws, right, on the boat.
Yeah, exactly. And because Jason Hoyt, it was my favorite day, because he was slaying us all. It was impossible to keep a straight face. Just said all these sort of ad libs around fecal matter, and it's stupid, it's childish, but I was like, god damn, he's so good, because he just holds it. Just looking out on the boat, and I saw random bits of detritus, a bit of fecal matter float by, and it's like, I don't know why that's so funny, but it's also late at night and we are all stuck on the dinghy in the middle of Wellington Harbour, floating and laughing our asses off, like crying, like cry laughing. And it was even funnier that there was another sort of dinghy attached to the back of that dinghy that the film crew were on, and that Jermaine was you know, watching the monitor from. You could just hear him like, oh, just dying in the background. I was like, that's great.
I talked to Paul Yates a little in preparation for this interview, and he said that was one of the times when you were corpsing the most.
Oh, absolutely. That it couldn't, he had nowhere to hide because the boat was so little. Everywhere you tried to lean out of the frame, you couldn't get away with it. Jason even got Mike and Karen, and they're really hard to crack. Mike and Karen are really hard to crack. They're stony faced. Where I'm easy. I just die all the time.
How was it working with the actual New Zealand police for those public service announcements?
Oh yeah, that was cool. We only really dealt with the one of those PSAs. I was staying at my at one time. I was staying at my partner's house in isolation on Waiheke Island. And I had to ask the local police station if I could borrow part of a uniform, because of course I didn't have my own from the show. And the guy dropped off the largest shirt they had and a high-vis vest, and it only sort of, I could button it up just above my stomach. And so it was like, hey, can I just sit behind this desk? Because can you not get me to stand up or anything? Because I can't button the shirt up all the way. It was ridiculously tight.
You guys did a pretty good job of managing that, it looks like to me, just what I followed on the news.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Don't you think? Like keeping everybody safe and you know, shutting things down when they needed to be shut down, and probably not losing your mind like we did.
Yeah. It was some when they pitched it, it was great. You know, they're like, we need to have the present the tone a little bit less kind of, people had a lot of fatigue around, you know, a lot of the PSAs, a lot of the language and a lot of the stuff that you were hearing on the news is like, you know, stay indoors, don't go anywhere, this and this and this and this. And
yeah,
you had a lot of people breaching protocol because they're tired of hearing, you know, quite earnest, quite almost judgmental kinds of PSAs and things. And so they go, hey guys, we partnered up with New Zealand Police. We'd really like to present something that is a bit more personable, and because of who you guys are and because of how the show is, it's a bit lighter in tone,
yeah,
and nicer to digest. And you know, if you leave your house, you will die.
Yeah, I'm not trying to, you know, be political or anything. I just think that I like the messages I saw, because I have to pay attention to all these things, and I'm interested in how the rest of the world did things. And it just seems like, you know, hey, you know, think about other people. Cause like, I think we did it for about a month and then everybody went, fuck it, we're going to go.
I want to go bowling.
Georgia. We live in Georgia, and I think we were the first state to start opening up. And the first thing they opened up were hair salons, bowling alleys, and tattoo parlors.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of, there was a lot of pressure for hair and nail salons to, I think even like Botox clinics were some of the first things that I open up, but not barbers.
Right.
Like, oh, okay. So I'm not allowed to shave my hair and beard, but you know, this lady can get some chemicals, get in the forehead and, some, you know, some French manicure. Oh yeah. Some of the inconsistency around that was just a bit of like,
It was weird.
I need a haircut, man.
Yeah. I didn't get a haircut for almost a year. I looked horrible.
During our level 4 lockdown, you know, obviously restaurants and everything. Only like supermarkets and essential grocery deliveries were open. So you're really good at learning how to cook different dishes because you couldn't order anything.
Right.
Once we dropped to the lower level, level three, you know, they were like, Uber Eats got crashed because, you know, the overflow of, you know, people were like, oh, I've got to get my McDonald's. crazy. And even like they were offering drive-in, the Uber Eats opened back up and drive-thrus opened back up and crazy, like 2 or 3 hour queues around the block. Yeah, oh yeah, guys, you've really missed your Big Mac stay.
Yeah. Hey. Are you working on anything currently you can tell us about beyond Wellington Paranormal?
I am. I'm currently working on a show called Far North, and it's shooting in a remote part of the Far Northland area of New Zealand. I'm in quite a remote sort of beachside town called Ahipara, and this is a real event that happened back in 2016 of a rather like a really large scale methamphetamine operation bust that happened here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say a lot too much, but it's all public knowledge, so it's all based on all the court records and all the testimonies from locals and stuff. And so we're shooting in the actual area. The people who it's about based around a group of people from, you know, representatives of a certain gang that came to this area. They stood out like a sore thumb pretty much because, you know, they were from out of town. They weren't intimidating or nothing. They were really polite boys. But, you know, there's a series of misfortunate events and poor choices that are... It kind of gave them away. Poor cover stories, you know, paying for things with large shoe boxes full of money. And but also there was an element of representatives from overseas, from China. And so these people were like going, oh, how are this Polynesian group of people sort of weirdly dealing with these skippers from these people from China with translators and trying to sell this cover story that they're all family and that they'd come to this area to spread their mate's ashes out on the open ocean. Lot of things to do with getting local people to help them to launch a boat out to sea and a lot of them not actually knowing what they were doing, not the locals though, but yeah, that they were picking up on
right
something's not right here. these guys want to scatter their mate's ashes out at sea, but they're giving this urn to these Chinese guys to get on this boat. And why don't you want to go and say goodbye to you? Oh no, I don't like boats. Oh yeah. Yeah, so
do you know when it's going to start airing?
Not too sure, really.
Yeah,
probably next year, because we don't wrap till September.
Wow.
And what was the name again? I'm sorry.
Far North.
Far North. Okay.
That's a working title anyway, but I think that's what it will be called in the end. And yeah, it's The place itself, Ahipara, is it's a really, really small town. It's by a massive coastline that we call 90 Mile Beach. And it's so long that people drive their cars. I had a driving practice yesterday. They were like, oh yeah, let's take the vehicle out on the beach so that you can learn how to drive on sand. And it's basically just like, yeah, they all do it. People drive up and down the thing like it's an open highway just to put the foot down, got to like, I don't know, 140 Ks. I don't know what that is in miles per hour, but yeah, going, whoa.
That's 86 miles an hour.
Is it? Yeah.
I knew that right off the top of my head.
That was as fast as I was, you know, was comfortable going. Because I was like, Jesus, I don't want to, like, you know, hit a rock or someone's dog, you know. But, yeah, it's a big, big stretch of coastline. And, you know, I had fun doing that without thinking that I was going to crash into another vehicle. Yeah, there's lots of driving scenes in this. And I don't know if you guys know, but I've yet to get my full license.
Oh.
Still on the technically on a learner's, and I had to get my learner's license through the same driver instructors that worked on Cowboy Bebop. So JT, the guy that's the car wrangler here, I was like, "Hey man, do you remember me? You did train me on the airstrip." Because that's right, I put you in that V8 bloody thing and. We did a few laps. I was like, he goes, oh, you've got your restricted yet? That's the middle class license before you get your full. And I was like, nah, no, not yet. I tried to sit it the week before that we got up here, but I failed. So I'll have to do it again.
We enjoyed seeing you in Cowboy Bebop. Sadly, it got canceled, but it was cool to see you pop up on Netflix there for a bit.
Thanks, man. That was pretty fun. Just the one day on there. Mufasa Shakir is a cool guy. Mustafa Shakir. He's a really cool guy. And I got to meet a few of those people at the table read. So sitting next to Mustafa and John Cho.
Right.
Yeah. It was fun. I'm sad that it. Didn't get another life because much like how Lord of the Rings has left New Zealand now as well, just opportunities for people and a lot of my friends in the industry to work on a fun thing that was a kind of cyberpunk-ish universe, and we got to be these large sort of larger than life characters. I got to, I don't know if I spoke about this last time I had an interview, but you know, when I auditioned for that guy, he didn't have a name. I think his name was Benicio or something. There was no brief about what kind of accent. I just was like, oh, well, when am I ever going to get a chance to pull off a Cockney accent?
Yeah.
You know, I'm never going to get cast in a Guy Ritchie film anytime soon. So, I went to the audition and was like, hey, I just practiced my audition in a Cockney accent. Is that all right? And the guy's like, yeah, man, you can do what you want. Go for it, buddy. You're a rock star. And he liked it. And they made it, it was strange.
Yeah.
And I got to shave my head. That was fun. And wear all kinds of... funky fake tattoos on my face and piercings. It was a fun guy.
Before we let you go and let you get on with your, I guess it's Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you still doing music? Are you still with your band, your quartet, Modern Melody Quartet?
Yeah, we're still together as a group. We haven't had any live gigs for the last two and a half years. Pretty much a couple of strange sort of online sort of presence things, but no gigs for a while. I think the last one we did was maybe a year and a bit ago. That was in Tasmania, in Hobart. That was interesting. The way the Australian borders worked and all the kind of different protocol around travel and vaccine visa and stuff like that. But yeah, that was probably the last time.
Are things, you can go to concerts now though in New Zealand and in Australia, they're open up?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Awesome.
And live gigs and bars.
The first concert I went to, I was afraid and I had two masks on and I was just like, oh, this is, it was outside too. And I was thinking, I don't know, I better go home. Eventually that went away thanks to alcohol.
Yeah. Thanks, alcohol.
Yes. Thanks for making me safe.
Yeah. Yeah, just bring it back to wrap up Wellington Paranormal. Do you feel like it ended in a satisfying way? Did they leave it open at all to maybe come back in the future? I know Paul said there was like some time travel stuff going on in the final episode. So I don't know if that helped maybe create a way to bring it back in the future.
Oh, look, I really loved the last season. It was quite satisfying and a culmination of the last 4 years, and everybody was on fire. Snappy, witty comebacks and really, really, really quick on our ad libs and just fun. So fun. And Paul made the announcement on day one before we started filming that we weren't going to go again. And so it was a bit of a shock to come to work that day and go, oh, well, it was the last one. And so it did have that great feeling of like leaving, putting your best work and leaving it out on the floor and just really giving it a wonderful send off. Quite an emotional last day, especially the last setup of the last day, hugging your mates and hugging the crew and tearing up and getting out, all the crew gifts, so that got a wonderful frame photo of us all. But I got the sense that we'll have another life at some point. Just a bit of a hiatus to let Jermaine and Paul really let us have time with our families and reassess.
Leave them wanting more. Leave them wanting more.
I don't think it's over, but I did get quite cocky when it was. I remember last year we were like, guys, we've sold to America. We're gonna go forever. Season 15 in Scotland or something, I don't know. The when you come back down to earth and you go, oh yeah, no, all good. It's actually I relished the opportunity to say goodbye to that wonderful beloved program, and got excited about working on new projects and more drama, and now I'm working on a drama series about Heartland New Zealand being put into an extraordinary circumstance and how some people were out of their depth trying to make certain decisions and how the humanity of a small community coming together, and it's gonna be cool.
Well, I hope we'll be able to see it someday over here in America.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's already been sold to Paramount and
nice,
and maybe Sundance Channel or something like that. I think that's what I heard.
Oh.
But as for Wellington Paranormal, I hope you guys really enjoy seasons three and four
Thank you for talking to a couple of goofballs.
The last episode of the last season, maybe have a nice whiskey or something.
Yeah.
I'm gonna save it for a while. I don't know if I'll watch it the day it airs, but I'll hold on to it for a while.
Great, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you coming back on. And is there any social media or any place you'd like to direct people if they want to follow you?
I haven't really been that active on social.
You got a good TikTok.
Yeah. I've been a bit active on TikTok for a bit.
At least TikTok is fun. The other social media is just like inviting people to yell at you for no
reason. Well, people still yell at you on TikTok. They just,
Oh, okay.
they can yell at you in video response form. That's a, you know.
No, I didn't know.
You follow me on TikTok. I make silly parody versions of R&B and hip hop songs in a sort of multi guitar strum style, and some other kind of fun parodies to do with my love of jiu-jitsu and stuff. So yeah, you can follow me on TikTok. It's just I'm pretty sure it's Markiplier too at TikTok.com. Shame, I don't even know my own username.
you could just search by your name and you'll pop up.
We'll find it. Maka, thank you so much for coming on with us, man.
No worries, man. Thank you. Bye.
Try again.